The following episode of Dave's Video Graveyard contains spoilers and naughty words. Listener discretion is advised.
Have you ever bought or rented a videotape that wasn't quite right? It may have been
Dave's Video Graveyard. Of all the film podcasts in the world, this is definitely one of them. Covering the best of the worst and the worst of the best of all things film. This is Dave's Video Graveyard with Casey and Dave.
It is Dave's Video Graveyard. A massive thanks for everyone joining us this week. Casey, how are you?
Worse off for having had to watch this movie.
I'm not going to lie to you. This is one of those movies where I remember fucking hating it as a kid.
Yeah.
But this revisit, because I'm so detached from what I didn't like about it as a kid, this blew my fucking mind. It's aged so very well.
So if I watch it in 20 years, I'll love it?
I think so. Okay. I think you will. Now, we are talking this week about 1995 Judge Dredd. It is the movie where Judge Dredd takes off his helmet. So we decided to get someone that rubs his helmet about this movie. We are joined by Toy Power Podcast, Ben Sachs. How are you, Ben?
Yeah, really good. Thank you. Really good.
Now, not often we let the guests pick the movie, but we decided, given all the services rendered for DVG over the years that you guys have done, it was only fair that we let you pick the movie, and you've chosen 1995's Judge Dredd.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
so he initially chose Miss Congeniality, but talked him out of
that. That is true, but yeah.
I didn't even know what a Serbian film was, Ben, so we couldn't cover it. So sorry, man.
Well, you won't let me USB with it on, so yeah. So Judge Dredd, I'll admit it's got its flaws and things. The Carl Urban one supersedes it tenfold. But I love this film, this Stallone film, because it was the introduction of Judge Dredd in my life. I didn't know anything about 2000 AD comics or anything like that. And here comes along Stallone, you know, the star actor that he was, and introduces this awesome figurehead of Judge Dredd.
In saying star actor, the word Stallone on the front cover is bigger than the title of the movie.
Well, I think that's sort of, you know, to the point why he was allowed to take off his mask, you know, because they couldn't have paid all that money to Stallone and Stallone being.
And it's just his chin.
Yeah. Well, but I've got it, you know, and I've got it in my notes here. How cool does Stallone look, you know, 100%. with his deformed, you know, facial format?
Yeah.
He looks like the perfect comic book rendering of Judge Dredd.
Yes, because it's larger than life. Let's hear the trailer before we get into it here on DVG.
As a city, we continue to grow.
73 citizen riots.
Come and get us!
Throw out your weapons and prepare to be judged! Judge this!
Court's adjourned.
Dredd!
You're a legend. You were my finest student.
Get Dredd!
You're under arrest.
What's the charge?
Murder.
The evidence has been falsified!
Guilty as charged.
I never broke the law! I am the law!
You want chaos?
The sentence shall be life imprisonment.
I'm the chaos. Dredd?
What's happening?
Let me crush him, Paul!
Excuse me? We're not together.
It's not for this council to play God!
Who says politics is boring? We're going to war.
You're a lot of fun to be with, Rick!
Mr. I am the law.
Coming.
I'll be the judge of that.
Stallone turned what was a, you know, a loved iconic comic book arc, he turned it into just another Demolition Man. He wanted to make another Demolition Man, essentially. He didn't care about the law or anything behind it. But
well, he is the law. I am the law.
If you were to look into, like, pretty much a lot of the movies he's made, whether it be Tango and Cash, all these other movies, he was known for so much interference because he knew better. Because we're talking about the guy that wrote and directed Rocky. He knew everything at the time.
And he's the star of Kitty and Studs Party.
Everyone. Yeah. Star of Stop or My Mum Will Shoot.
Oh, I loved that movie.
Now, this movie, I've got to say, we talked a little bit before we started today. So much of the production values of this holds up perfectly because it was all done practically. There was a little bit of CGI flourish to make, you know, a bit of matte painting work as well to make the, you know, the backgrounds look better and everything. But a lot of the on-the-ground sets and stuff, it just looks like it's cut, copy-paste straight out of Blade Runner. And the reason being, the director wanted a lot of the people involved that were masters of their craft. He wanted them on this movie. Mm. So he insisted that it got filmed in the UK. And a lot of that has added to this movie not aging terribly.
Yeah, like, it's visually really good.
Yeah, and plus 2000 AD heralds from the UK as well. So that's another sort of little factor that there probably more fans and things worked on this film than they would have if it was a Hollywood film. So.
Do you know what else comes from the UK? Not very good pornography.
What?
I've just noticed.
I'm horny, baby.
So this movie is based on the comic book Judge Dredd, which is an extension of a few other different comic properties. What do you think of this movie, Ben? How often do you revisit it? Obviously, it's a huge favourite of yours.
Well, I'm the sort of guy that sort of always seeks new movies to watch. So I don't really re-watch films very often. Like it's not uncommon for me to not watch this film for 5 years before I re-watch it. And I think the last time I watched it was a few years ago, and I watched this Stallone film first and then I watched Dredd the next night, and it pales in comparison.
2012's Dredd is a fucking classic.
Yeah, so something I don't recommend. You need to wait about a year before you watch the two fairly close together. But Carl Urban's Dredd is just so much better. But anyway, Stallone's Dredd, as I said before, it's an introduction of the character for me. It was groundbreaking. The practical effects hold this movie up, you know, tenfold. Yep. Like I've got written in my notes here, when we see Mega City 1, it's got a bit of a Mario Brothers thing, vibe to it. A bit of not quite Fifth Element, but, going for that Blade.
Oh, yeah.
I 100% was like, there's got to be some crossover of the production design. But I think more so they both borrowed heavily from Blade Runner.
Yes.
So
that's a lot of it. Huge influence. I think I read something about that in my research, so yeah.
One thing I was really impressed by, I was watching like a bit of a recap, the Oliver Harper retrospective online. I was watching what he did on Dredd, which actually released in 2011. So it was kind of, at the time, it was the be-all, end-all was this movie in the comics.
It was pre-Dredd.
Yes, pre-Dredd. So BD. So watching it, I was really surprised that he showed a lot of the artwork from the covers of, like, the Dredd comics. And so much of it was used in the movie. I was really impressed, like, whether it be the Angel family or whatever.
Yes, correct, yep.
They were on a lot of covers and they looked fantastically realised in the movie. And it didn't go down that path of, like, Johnny Mnemonic, where it kind of shot too high because it's set in the distant future after the world's been destroyed. Kind of thing. Yeah. But it didn't shoot too high. Like, there weren't 1,000 spaceships in every shot. There weren't. So I think it aged so well, and it looks expensive as fuck.
Yeah, it does. For sure. I've got here for, when we first see Dredd, like, it's the opening scene, he's perfectly in character, and it's just that slow pan watching Dredd from his boots, you know, he's like, they're all the other Dredds are getting shot up and things, and Dredd comes along on his lawgiver bike and stuff, and it's this pan from his boots to his head, and I just think Stallone just looks so perfect. In that 15-minute opening scene, it's just perfect until he sort of takes off his mask.
Until he opens his mouth.
No, I like that because I can imagine, like, Dredd being, you know, a bit left field of the rest of the other Dredd characters, you know, of the lore. So, you know, because that's how he's built up a name for himself. That's why he's so famous, because he's, you know, a bit unique.
Because yeah. did I read correctly in the opening, because I was reading a lot of what was on the screen, the suits were made by Versace? Right?
I'm not sure.
What?
But yeah, but I'm pretty sure it was.
I'm pretty sure it's commentary by James Earl Jones as well.
Oh, yeah. He does the opening scrolling. Scroll.
Yeah, yeah. And I kind of think it's cool because, you know, we're in the era that this was released, is around the sort of Blade, you know, Marvel Blade movie and things, that they actually threw it back. You know, they had the comic books flashing on the screen saying, you know, this is actually a comic book movie. This is Judge Dredd. Whereas when it went to Blade, they're like, no, nah, Marvel don't want anything to do with this. Mm. We're not even going to flash the Marvel screen just in case it bombs. Yeah.
Well, actually, I was wrong. Much like when we did Showgirls and we were quite excited about Versace.
Yes.
It was actually
Versace.
It was Versace that made the costumes for Dredd. And one thing that I loved about the costumes, and it's much like we talk about when we talk about Toys Ben, I love that gold look metal.
Oh, that is really cool.
Like where it's all completely reflective mirrored gold and it just looks so heavy and expensive and impressive, because you look at any picture of Dredd, that's exactly what's realised.
If you look at the Stallone Dredd and the Carl Urban Dredd, the Stallone Dredd is very comic book accurate with the massive shoulder pads and things, whereas Carl Urban was more tactical. Practical.
Yeah.
So they calmed it down a lot. So you've got to, that's one thing I suppose it has over the, you know, 2012 version.
Anyone that's listening that for any reason goes on to make an action film, if you don't make it as violent as 2012's Dredd, go fuck yourself. Because honestly, that is the gold standard of where action movies need to go back to.
Yeah, 100%.
Now, speaking of gold standards, let's talk about Rob Schneider.
The carrot.
Rob Schneider is the carrot. I love he was in Demolition Man, so he's worked with Stallone before. He was also in Surf Ninjas. He's in a movie called Knock Off with Van Damme in like the late 90s. So he was always the comic relief sidekick for a lot of action stars. I found him the most palatable and surprisingly young looking in this movie.
He did look really young.
Because you get so used to what, like, you know, Juice Bigelow and all those movies.
Yep.
He was literally like, you know, maybe late 20s, I reckon, when this was made. Well, he looked it anyway.
Mm.
And apparently he was doing a lot of ad-libbing. And that's when the scene where he's in the prisoner carrier next to Judge Dredd and he starts doing a Stallone impression. That was just an improv to make Stallone laugh. And everyone there was so blown away by how funny it was. They put it in the movie. And can you imagine being Rob Schneider knowing that, like, you've just paid out Stallone, who's like an egomaniac, and they're going to put it in the movie, the finished movie? Like, I could imagine you'd be like, all right, just don't leave me alone with Sly.
Yeah, he's going to red carpet me.
Grabs him by the back of the neck and takes him into like a little side room and kicks the shit out of him. Stallone looks really fucking good physically.
He does.
Because he's always – he's been able to bulk up and be the action star type. But one thing I was quite surprised by, he also looks quite youthful, but I think it's also at the tipping of the scale of a lot of his facial plastic surgery stuff.
Yeah.
Because, like, this seemed like the last of the natural – he might have had some skin peels and stuff
because
he looks quite – or Botox, he looks quite young. But this is, like, the point before he –
before he went a bit.
He went a bit Mickey Rourke.
Yeah, he did go a bit Mickey Rourke. Have you seen his mum?
No.
Sylvester Stallone's mum looks really surgery-ish.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so it runs in the family.
Yeah.
Right. Interesting.
I've seen his brother was in Sons of Anarchy and he just looks like a 10-year-old Stallone that didn't
his
work out.
His brother looks like, a Stallone impersonator.
Yeah.
100%.
He's like the Wish brand Stallone.
Yeah.
Mm.
Now, this movie is fucking over the top, but a lot of it – one thing that was a real pleasant surprise was Max von Sydow showing up, because, you know, from pretty much every major thing, he was part of, you know, The Exorcist and all these amazing things he's been part of. One thing surprising, jumping to the end of this movie, I know we're going to jump all over the place today, but this is the third movie from the 80s or 90s where the climax takes place on top of Statue of Liberty.
Yes, I wrote that down.
Yeah. I was like, the first X-Men movie from 2000 and Ghostbusters 2.
Yes, yep.
So there's just something about that.
Do you think there was some prop sharing there? I saw it as X-Men, like that's
definitely
off of X-Men.
X-Men
hardcore. But
definitely.
Yeah.
Because the scale was completely off.
Yeah.
So the story follows Judge Dredd, who is pretty much – one thing that cracks me up is with the 2012 Dredd, He is a goody-goody, but that doesn't take away from his character. Whereas to me, watching the 95 Dread, I'm just like, God, he's such a fucking insufferable goody-goody all the time.
Yep, yep.
Like, he'll never break the rules.
Yeah, he is the judge, the jury, and the executioner. So.
And the law.
And the Dread. And the
yeah. So the city has a population of 65 million, but only capacity for 20 million. So
and they recycle food.
Yeah, which you were questioning before.
All right, so I want to know, and maybe some of the listeners can tell me, they're talking about recycled food at the start of the movie. Now, do you guys think the recycled food is leftover, like sandwich crusts and apple cores that have been compressed into something you can eat, or is it poo?
What would you want it to be, Ben? I'll let you go. If you're the guest.
I'd
like to think that it's,
you know like Waterworld, how he wees?
Well, yeah. I was more so thinking, I like to think in my Judge Dredd world,
yeah,
in my 2000 AD, it is, you know, when you go to the restaurant and you're fucking full and you've got maybe 6 or 7 chips still on the plate and
yeah,
like some of the mashed potato in it. I like to think it's just an amalgamation of all those scraped plates.
Yeah.
And that's what I'd consider recycled food. It's just like a
pig trough of food. Yeah.
Because
yeah,
otherwise it's reverse engineered poop, like you say, it is, and yeah, I'm not about that. I like it freshly pooped.
No recycled poop.
I like my poop organic. What about you, Ben?
Oh, gosh. After watching bloody Human Centipede, I'm not a fan of any poop whatsoever.
While we're on the topic of poop, we forgot to mention at the start Toy Power Podcast. Tell us about that.
Well, if we're poop, I don't know what DVG is then. But yep. Toy Power Podcast, we're a weekly podcast. We delve heavily into our nostalgia, the 80s, the 90s, talking about toys. We also try and cover all the modern toys and things that are coming out, latest news. And we also sprinkle in certain categories like quizzes and retrospectives.
Cheating.
And cheating, yeah.
Yep.
When
cheating at quizzes, yeah.
Yeah.
We have a really good time and, we're over 200 episodes now. Yeah.
And that's
– definitely go and check their podcast out if you haven't done it already.
Yep. Mm. Boy Power Podcast. Is that right?
That's what I've got written
here. Just Boy Power Podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
No, shout out to all the boys. It is a fantastic podcast. It's the class. It is the Sylvester Stallone to our Frank Stallone. DVG's definitely the Frank of the relationship.
Yep.
I don't know what to say, man. This movie, I hated it in 1995.
And what did you hate about it? Or you just I don't actually know.
Around 95 was the time that I started paying attention to like the Richard Wilkins and all those fuck knuckles of the world. Remember, there's an age where things flip. Like, I reckon it was around the third Ninja Turtles movie where...
Is that the time travel one?
Yeah. That's the first movie I saw in the cinema. I'm like, oh, movies can be shit? How is that possible? Like, it was so mind-blowing. There was always such a pleasant escapism going to the movies and seeing a movie that when I finally saw a movie that I thought fucking sucked... It betrayed me. But I think around that time I started to listen to the buzz that you get. So Molly Meldrum would go on Hey Hey and say a movie sucked, my mind would suddenly go, oh, so movies can suck. Movie. This must be a movie. And still to this day, if I hear just organically 3 or 4 people say a movie fucking sucks, it'll drop so far down on my watch list. Unless they say, you have to watch this because it sucks, then it goes up.
That's the message you get from me.
This movie, I feel like I remember, like, even at the time, it was like, oh, this movie's a bomb. It's a flop. It's not very good. He takes his helmet off. I'm like, watching it this time, I'm like, fuck, this looks good.
But see, I only found out that afterwards that that was a big no-no for Dredd to take his helmet off. So when me going in as a 16, 17-year-old kid, I didn't know Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I just finally can drive and drink, you know.
And a big part of that's also that you never used to wear a helmet on a push bike.
That's why you love this movie so much.
Yeah,
it's so risque. So I didn't know any of that deeper, no-nos and things, the lore behind the comic books. And so I just went in knowing nothing about the character and just, you know, loved the action and everything like that. Loved the futuristic, you know, dystopian future, and I just thought it was awesome. So
now, right in the start, we see Rob Schneider gets released from prison.
Yes.
He's been in there for hacking
yep.
and messing with robots.
Yep.
So he gets sent to live in a certain quadrant.
Pleasantville yeah. or something like that. It's yeah. like, oh, is that there? And there's a pool scene and all the girls.
And then it cuts.
Oh, there it is. Oh, yeah. No.
It cuts to like some news footage of riots and yep. shit. But what I did like was when he arrives at his new home, there's already a shootout and a riot yeah. in progress.
Yep.
So he goes up to the floor where he's supposed to be living. And that's, of course, where the bad guys are shooting at the judges. And one of the main guys up there is James Remar. Now, I don't know if you know that guy.
Is he Flash's dad in the TV series?
I'm not that
so
kind of
So you
loser.
Don't know who he is.
It is Ajax
yep.
from The Warriors.
Right.
It is Raiden from Mortal Kombat yep. Annihilation. But more importantly, what I wanted to tell you, Ben, here's a little factoid that yep. you get only on DVG. James Remar, the actor, was originally Corporal Hicks in Aliens.
Okay, and then he got...
But because yeah. He was a huge fan of James Cameron, but he was a much bigger fan of drugs. So he actually got fired 2 weeks before Aliens started.
That old chestnut.
And I was going to ask, do you think James Remar is playing a throwaway bad guy in the start of 1995's Dread if he made it into Aliens?
No, he wouldn't. No. He'd be the Dread, or he'd be the Rico, or something like that.
Exactly. Yeah, he would have worked yep. as well. But I just found that so interesting.
It is.
He got fired 2 weeks before.
Yep. Yep.
Aliens started.
Mm.
So there's my interesting fact about a movie that's not Judge Dredd. What's yours, Casey? This movie is...
I have nothing to say about this movie.
I think it's forgivable.
I hated it.
Why?
Okay.
Why?
What about the scene where Rico, you first meet Rico and he's in that sort of futuristic prison cell, much like Magneto was.
It just looked like a steel mill that they
filmed. No, but steel mills don't have Gatling guns on the side and everything, you know. I just thought that was so cool. And all the troopers walking around with those massive, massive guns, like they were...
I loved that all the bad guys...
five times bigger than they needed to be.
This looked to me like a franchise where they come up with a bunch of toys and went, let's make a movie out of this. Because everything looked like an action figure.
Yep,
it just didn't...
And I like the troopers because it wasn't just your standard stormtroopers. There were black troopers. There were modified, troopers with capes and things like that. It was,
It was a very super... saturated color, animated, stylized.
I thought it was
dystopia.
Very bright.
It was like I would have liked it more gritty and.
But that's what Dread gave you. But this is in the era where they didn't expect comic book films to do well. Like comic books was 90s was the worst decade for comic books.
At this point, you had no other option if you were going to do a comic book. It had to be Batman 89.
Or
if you didn't have that production behind you, then don't worry. I think what's so strong about this movie is you're not getting a fucking another origin story. No one would have known, outside of comic fans, no one would have had any fucking idea who Judge Dredd was going to see this movie.
Yeah.
So what I found so refreshing was them taking the – we spoke before we started. It's a day in the life of Dredd in this movie.
Mm.
It's not a – here's how he became a judge and here's what he does. Don't get me wrong, there's a lot of exposition where they just go, oh, remember when you were my you learned to be a judge from me.
But that's not important. You just dropped into the world, which I like that. It's the kind of – I like that storytelling where you're left to figure out what it is, why it is, and some of it isn't important. You're just immersed in a reality.
Yep.
I just didn't think it really –
I didn't learn
anything. It wasn't really an adventure to me. It was
this was a fantastic opening because you get, all right, here's 15 minutes of the best of Dredd because he bests all the bad guys.
Yeah.
He does a few things. I was actually – one thing I've forgotten, which gets reused in Dredd 2012, where he shoots through the floor and drops down.
Yep.
That gets reused but is super gritty in the – I just love Carl Urban in everything anyway.
Carl Urban is perfect. But I love how they, in that opening scene, you get so much. You get all the options of the lawgiver.
You find out what the lawgiver
that can do and things like that. And you even get told the other sort of rookie Dredd gets killed and the bad guy picks up his gun and the other one's like, no, don't, they're booby-trapped.
And of course
it electrocutes him and things. So you get all that sort of background and then that helps build on to the rest of the movie because it, lots of scenes they changed the guns and things like that. So,
and like I said, in my memory, I've kind of filed this one in with Johnny Mnemonic, the Keanu Reeves science fiction movie, which is very silly, or Virtuosity, those really
Lawnmower
Man-esque science fiction.
Day or whatever it is.
But watching it this time, this is so much closer to RoboCop than anything else. Like, I even like that the TV reporter that's part of the plot later on is so skeptical, and it's very satire of what real, like, trash reporting is.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to get to the bottom of the real story of the judges and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Is this movie meant to be playful? Silly.
This was the changes that Stallone was accused of making. Okay. It was supposed to be an action, straightforward. It was very much like RoboCop. It was very...
like a RoboCop Terminator kind
of... Yeah, it was very satirical of the real world and politics and stuff. Almost like to a level of like V for Vendetta type, like here's what the world's like and, you know, you don't know better than the judges. The system know better,
yeah,
not you.
Yeah, okay.
I think anyone who actively cast... Rob Snyder knew that it was going to be a, you know, a joke film, and if he was in the, because what annoyed me about Rob Snyder is because he was okay, he got dropped in the wrong place at the wrong time at the start, right? I can understand that, you know, so he got to know Dredd and things, but then when he landed sitting next to him on the prison transport, it's like, okay, you know, this is too coincidental, and then but he was the only person to survive when they got into the outer world, outer wall, whatever you call
it. But he was a character device that was there to show you that sometimes the judges do get it wrong.
A human. Yeah.
Even,
I know. I
even
get
one
that.
Of the
I
other, even the female judge says, maybe he was telling the truth.
Yes.
Dredd's like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I think that perhaps Judge Dredd from 1995 is the best Snyder cut that I've watched. Honestly. I think because they edited more stuff in that Rob Schneider had improv. This literally is the first Snyder cut.
Yeah, fair enough.
Mm. It's just not black and white. Man, sorry to get sidetracked. Gal Gadot is uncomfortably attractive.
She is.
To the point every time she showed up in the Snyder cut, I was like, ah, just do porn.
Yeah, it hurts my eyes to look at her sometimes.
Mm. Anyway, back to the more important Snyder cut. So Judge Dredd basically gets framed because we find out that the lawgiver actually takes DNA and stamps or every bullet it fires, it tells the bullet what judge fired it. So the guy that's on TV that keeps talking shit about judges suddenly gets killed. And on the footage that we see,
which is super grainy and
bad. Super grainy. Yep. Judge Dredd shows up and murders him and his associate. So Judge Dredd gets sentenced to
a death. Or death.
Death imprisonment in Aspen.
Yep.
And because in Scorched Earth, Aspen's a, rather than being like a snowfield, a desert. And Max von Sydow takes the blame because he's the one that trained Dredd and he reckons that, well, I trained to kill her. So
he's ready to retire. So he's got one last request before he retires.
That's right.
And he says, no, I'll do that. But, you know, when in that courtroom, did you notice anything? Because the camera was down on the ground looking up on his billard while he was dead. Did you guys notice anything?
The only thing I noticed is what a stupid fucking courtroom to have a door that just goes out into the desert on one side.
That and he's got a massive dry piece of snot in his nose.
Oh.
Right? And it just took me completely out of the film. Like, I couldn't concentrate.
He's got a bat in the cave.
And then like every time I saw him in that courtroom scene, it was just there. Boogie. It was just terrible.
I want to see him like with him with his helmet on and he sneezes.
Oh,
and he has to pull over, take it off and clean the inside. Mm. There's a big giant blimp going south on her way.
And that's, of course, the part where you get the famous quote, I am the law, he yells it out. So,
but he says that that's the first thing he says when he puts on his little microphone at the start.
No. Yeah.
Well,
then, Jack Nicholson's like, you can't handle the truth. When he does get arrested, and the guard-style police that aren't judges look like Skeletor's troops from the Masters of the Universe movie.
Yep.
In the court case, things get pretty boring.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's lot of, here's some information you'll need later. I'm like, no, thank you. Let's move on.
Mm.
So we do. I had to ask, there is the Jarvis version of the computer that knows everything, like it is the law system. Yep. Is that the voice of Lilith from fucking Cheers and Frasier? Because every time she was talking, I was like, that's Frasier's missus from Cheers.
Was it?
I reckon it would have been. At this point, Judge gets found guilty and they put him on a prisoner carrier right next to
Snyder.
Rob yep. Schneider, the Snyder car. And it gets blown out of the sky above the desert by the hillbilly family.
Angel family. Yep.
Angel family.
Who, let me kill him, Ma.
Yeah. they're above cursed earth. That's where
right. They're above
they
cursed
yep.
earth.
Yep.
They get the main one is played by the old guy from The Walking Dead. I cannot think of his name, but he gets Herschel
yes,
from The Walking
right.
Dead is
I
the main
guy. I knew I recognised yes. him. I couldn't work it out.
But it's weird how much he aged yeah. from Judge Dredd yeah, to yeah. like Walking
yep.
Dead.
Yep.
But I thought they looked fantastic. And this yes. is what I was talking about with that retrospective showing all the comic book art.
Yes. Yep.
Particularly the brother that
yep.
has
mean
the
machine.
Mean
yep.
machine.
Yep.
Looks amazing. Yep. If I was to collect the figures, you brought some of the figures that you have today.
Yeah.
I would want that guy yeah. and Judge Dredd.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Judge Death. But anyway, that's
and yeah. Judge Judy to yes. fight it out.
And Judge Reinhold.
Yeah.
And he's just got a banana as his accessory from Beverly Hills Cop. So they capture Dredd and Snyder, who luckily are the only two people on the prisoner carrier that survive, and take them back to their cave, essentially, yep, and it yep. gets a bit – the hills have eyes for a moment.
Yeah, they get a bit cannibalistic, yeah, ready to
– I did find
that,
it
– that guy or, on the roasting
– body melt, you know.
Yes. Yeah. I did find it funny because the family are like hillbillies and they're like very southern.
It reminded you of your family.
Yeah, well, not just that. I was like, oh, they're just in Broken Hill.
Yeah.
Go watch Priscilla. They are southern, and so Rob Snyder realizes that they're all religious. So he starts pretending to be religious.
Yeah.
Like, praise the Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah. And like, oh, we got a true believer. And that's the point where they realize they can sacrifice a true believer. So they're going to kill and eat Rob Snyder.
Yep.
And he says, the don't eat me. Eat Dredd. He works out a lot.
Yep.
Which I thought was funny. Judge gets out. He's tied by his arms. This is a staple of Stallone movies. There are so many movies where Stallone is tied up with his hands above his thing because your arms always look amazing in that
right,
position.
Okay.
Just Tango and Cash. There's like a really long scene just to show off his arm yep. muscles. Anyway, at this point, Max von Sydow shows up with the Skeletor's troops.
Yep.
And they help him escape.
Yep.
Then, because we've seen this Judge Rico that's escaped. He goes and gets his gun back. But also there's those fucking amazing ABC bots.
Warrior, yeah.
Yep. Look fucking sick.
Because it's dumb practical. Yeah, yeah. Just love it.
I wonder who owns that, because that would still be surviving, surely.
Not sure, but yes, that'd be pretty cool. Yep. So, yeah, they Rico and associates cause chaos on the streets and lots of explosions and murder by the ABC.
They start killing all the
and they kill judges and I think 96 or something are dead at that.
Judge Judy's killed. Judge yeah. Reinhold's killed in that scene.
Yeah. And then they come up with the idea the Janus Project is to unlock. So that's
they want to clone all existing judges
yep.
so that they double yeah. their numbers, but they're all. Yeah. Competent judges.
And they can create a judge in 8 hours or something. So,
why did they cut that out of the end of the movie?
It felt too much like, what was the movie? Felt too much like Demolition
like,
Man.
Yeah, well, yeah. it also yeah. felt like Double Dragon,
right.
the movie,
oh, yeah.
like a lot of it, because yeah. just the way it looked. But, yeah, so there's a lot of manipulation and thing. One element that I found really amazing, one of the rookies that Judge Dredd loved, he was the best at movie and photo manipulation.
Yes, yep.
I love the idea that in the future they've got an app that basically reverse Photoshop shit. And he goes, well, I'm taking everything out of this photo that's not real.
It only took 3 hours to upload those. But,
but I want that because it would be so funny to go, all right, let's see what this originally
looks
like.
Yeah, let's see what it really looks like.
Awesome. So, yeah, basically Judge Dredd's coming back.
They're in the flamethrower tunnels.
They're in the flamethrower tunnels, which is that belongs in other movies as well.
Oh, definitely.
How many movies are there where like action stars have to run away from an explosion of fire?
Yeah, yeah.
I like when he come back. He attacks another judge, and takes all his armor and suit. There is a scene, I'm sure you may have noticed it, where one of the other judges grabs Judge Dredd and spins him around. It's a clear shot of the judge's face. And the audio goes, Dredd, I knew it was you. But the guy's mouth doesn't move at all for the whole thing.
I was going to say, like, this guy was clearly shorter and less stocky as in Dredd, and yet the armour and clothing just fit perfectly on Stallone.
It's like a stormtrooper thing where, like, Luke Skywalker's way shorter than a normal one.
A little short for a stormtrooper, aren't you?
There is a guy on the judge panel that has been helping the Janice thing going on. And the robot rips his arms off. And I was like, more of that.
Yeah, that was really good.
Rip his arms and legs off.
Make sure his head's last so that he can feel it.
Yeah. The Dredd takes off his armor and runs around. And then we get the worst visualization of the film when they're running around on the bikes chasing around the city. And that's an hour in. So I've got to give credit where credit's due.
I reckon that scene was done by the exact same people that did the first A Whole New World flight from Aladdin, because it looked exactly the same. Yeah. I was waiting for him to look back at Rob Snyder, who, by the way, has shit his pants on the bike. That was the best thing, because he goes, "Don't look at the seat when I get off." And I've said that every time I've ever stood up from a vinyl covered seat. I'm like, "Don't look at it, don't look at it." There was already that sweat line. That is the real travesty facing this nation. It is us fat dudes that leave a sweat line where you've sat.
Just an actual line of your crack?
Yes.
The moisture?
But it's perfectly, realised.
Butt-shaped.
It's like, did a shark rest his mouth against this sideways? Or did Dave sit here?
Give it a smell and find out.
So he we get pretty much we're at the Statue of Liberty now.
Yeah. Yep.
So it's at this point.
Which they've moved.
Yes, they've moved. What it was the city had built up and grown around it, and the river had dried up and everything. But
I think they referenced the move or whatever. They said, "Oh, it's over here where they moved the Statue of Liberty." Like, that was 45 minutes into the film, so they preempted the fact that they were going to get to the Statue of Liberty later in the film. And then there's that huge just screaming match between him and Rico. They're just yelling at each other.
One thing I will say with the casting of the bloke Asante, I believe his last name is, I was really surprised that he vaguely did have a lot of Stallone facial
attributes. Well, he's got no neck. He's just this.
But he also has – Stallone has this weird thing, and once you notice it, you can't notice it. If you were to draw a caricature of Stallone, other than his lumpy face, all his eyelashes are little triangles, little black triangles that are kind of spaced apart. And that's exactly what Judge Rico has in this movie. I was like, that's a good
– Yeah.
If it was deliberate, that was well cast. Because who would you cast as a twin for Stallone?
Oh, twin. I mean, I'd like
Schwarzenegger would be the go-to.
I'm not sure.
If we did a recast.
Henry Rollins or someone.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
That's a very good call because they have the same neck also.
Solid.
Now, in a recast, I would put The Rock as Judge Dredd. Well, similar again, just that big stocky look.
Bulky.
He took on Carl Urban in Doom, so it'd be a cool little triangle. Mm. That would make sense. It needs to be someone physically imposing. Even Hemsworth when he's in shape for Thor.
Oh, Thor. Because
if you notice he gets – you see Chris Hemsworth get into super good shape for Thor, but he's never showing it off as Thor. It's always just his arms and stuff.
Yeah.
But then all these social media posts are like, look how incredible shirtless I look now. Him as Dredd would be really good. I'd put Chris Hemsworth naked as Dredd. He's just got the shoulder pads but none of the rest of it.
I'd want to have Tom Holland as the Rob Schneider character.
That would be incredible. I'd have the little tubby Hemsworth brother that's not as famous.
Oh, the crap one Luke, from Westworld. Yeah,
that one. I'd have the cowboy one as dressed for Westworld. I did we said a bit about it. The world building in this movie is fantastic because it borrows enough from the right places. The spaceships look pretty cool.
Were they miniatures?
Surely,
how did they do that?
One thing I didn't notice is this time in the 90s, whenever a science fiction movie was brought up, anytime there was a spaceship, there was that black line that used to be around.
Yeah.
Even the Rancor in Return of the Jedi used to have that black line where it's been superimposed.
Yeah.
But it looked pretty seamless.
Apparently the big lawgivers, they were so powerful that the only stuntmen could drive them. And they had some seriously low-powered ones that could barely you know, go like a go-kart, you know, super small, slow for the actual
the Stallone to sit on.
Yeah, for the prize shots.
So that, I did yeah. like the element of it not working and him punching it. And
yeah,
it
that was a little bit of a kind yeah, of that right. was one little joke, if you can get it working. Yeah, but I like those little because bits of giving you the audience knowledge of the what sort of world they're living in and things and what technology yeah. and everything. I like that. So
and none of it seemed like a bridge too far. Like no. it, like it wasn't a oh here's the thing that transports us over to that yeah. building and yeah. shit like that. It was. Yeah. It was a lived-in world, but yep. not. It was the future tech we'd have in a shitty future.
Yeah, yep. So well, in a future where you've got 60 million people in a you know sardine can essentially. So
a Soylent Green yeah. situation yeah, would have Soylent sorted Green. That out, yeah. and the recycled food as
yep.
well.
Yeah, yep. solve it all. So there was a thing that bothered me in the yep. movie. At you know the movie The Addams Family.
Yes.
Well, when Judge Dredd took his helmet off at the start, his face was lit like Morticia, where there was just this beam of light on the top of his face all of a sudden for the whole scene. That was weird. I just needed to get
maybe,
that
maybe
out.
It was the lenses. Maybe he's, you know, had a bit of sunburn and it's just
Well, maybe, you know. Yeah, he just had no tan, so yeah. his face was just super white yeah. down to there and it just looked like a spotlight.
Now,
yeah.
we talked about physicality. One thing I did notice, the actor that plays Rico
yes.
is having a fucking fun time because yes. he gets to be the not-so-crazy yep. bad guy.
Yep.
I cannot highly recommend checking out the ABC Robot or ABC yeah. Warrior. It looks fucking amazing. It's all done practically and done really well. There's a few scenes where it's moving a bit slower than like you'd expect it to, but I thought it was fantastic. It looked really cool, especially there's a scene where the corrupt judge comes in and he's sitting in the darkness and his eyes light up. And I was
yeah,
like, yeah. That looks really cool.
Yep, yep. He's got like big Gatling guns on his arms and things. He's just holding the judges there ready to, you know, break their necks and things like that. With the And he does rip apart one of the guy's arms and things and then gets told by Rico to pull his arms and legs apart by another, you know, just right at the end, I think. So he's got the capability of that.
Now, in the massive final battle between Stallone and Rico, I have one issue that took me, much like the booger did for you.
Yep. yep.
My booger of this movie. Yep, that's what yep. we can call it moving forward.
Yep. yep.
The booger the of the booger movie moment. For me.
Yeah, yeah,
the
yeah.
booger moment. Judge Dredd, top of the Statue of Liberty, yep. throws Rico off.
Yes.
We get treated to a cool stuntman scene of the stuntman yep. falling. They've put Rico in slow motion. All the cars that are gridded down as the ground
okay.
are in normal speed. Yeah, right. And I was yeah. like, and I've watched it again. I'm like, that is so fucking jarring.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, maybe they're spaceships, so they're super fast well, and or, slowed down. That's
or do you think because they're so high up on the buildings, you know, like 500 story buildings, that he just looks like he's falling slowly?
I didn't mean to upset you, friend. Oh, no. also, Casey made a note. I
yep.
didn't because
yep.
I'm a male and I don't objectify. Diane Lane's butt looks amazing in the judge outfit is what Casey
yeah,
said.
Yeah.
And I agree.
Oh, yeah.
Did you notice? I thought you would notice that.
I really just zoned out in this movie. I'm not going to lie to you.
So what was your booger moment? Aside from the you know, the limbs,
lit face.
Yep, yep.
Rob Schneider doing his impersonation of Sylvester Stallone's the best part of this entire movie.
Yeah, I mean, I just kept doing like making cuppers over the top of it and stuff. Yep. Like it got a bit dumb.
The Dreadster.
The bit where the guy took the cigar out of the dead guy's hand.
Yeah.
That was yep. kind of funny. I don't know.
Oh, there is another booger moment. Actually, I just thought of it.
Yep.
Rico goes to pick up the judge gun
yes.
and the guy at the pawn store said, don't touch that.
Yeah.
Yep.
They're rigged to only thing. Rico pulls it up and goes, well, how about that? And a bead of sweat runs down his face, like a real big noticeable bead of sweat.
Mm.
And then it cuts to the guy's face scared. Then it cuts back and to Rico gone. Pulling the trigger and it's completely gone. Okay. And I was like, ah, oh, booger moment.
Yep, yep. Fair enough. Can't argue that.
That's the most polite who gives a fuck. That I've ever. See, that's the yeah. difference between Toy Bower Podcast. Yeah. If someone says a dude gives a fuck moment and they're like, oh, yes, well, that's a good
can't
point.
Argue with
whereas
that.
With us, you we're just like, shoot that look at me and you're like what are you talking
fuck
about, cunt?
Off. That's like I thought that if they made this movie in Australia, he would have to say that thing about like this is the law, but he'd have to say this is the law, cunt. And then it would just tip of the hat there.
Nice.
That's
nice.
The Australian Judge Dredd.
Do you think Jude Law spent a lot of his childhood saying, I am Jude Law? Shut up, Ben. This, no. It can't all be Toy Power podcasts.
Yeah, we don't have the class and the prestige. I don't have any of the humour
that you guys got, so.
We know.
It shows.
Yeah.
What do you guys got coming up on Toy Power?
So we've got, what have we got? April. It's Easter. Yeah, because it's Easter, we've just done one that's, you know, focus on characters that are rabbits and things like that. So action figures, you know, I've put it into movies, video games and all that
stuff. Who is your best movie without, well, because it's rabbit. Already out now. Who is your best movie rabbit?
Donnie Darko.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
wow.
Frank the Bunny.
I will push back. There is a movie that I feel like no one saw called Rise of the Guardians.
Yes.
Oh, I know that.
Hugh Jackman plays the Easter Bunny. In it. It's fucking a great
that
movie.
Aussie guy
they call him a kangaroo.
Yeah.
And I'm the Wallaby.
Oh, Wallaby. Okay. But it's one of those movies where it's an X-Men origin story of Santa and all that. Check that out if you're listening, because it's worth it.
Do you know that Matt Groening's original drawings were all those bunnies? Do you remember those old sketches?
Like a rabid type looking.
He just had those black and white drawings that all the characters were rabbits.
Okay.
When he made The Simpsons, the reason Marge's hair was so tall is that she was going to end up being revealed to be hiding big rabbit ears.
Okay. Yeah.
They just never did it.
You learn so much on DVG.
You do.
They've still got time. They're not going away anytime soon.
They've just recast all the voice actors.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's an end of an era. I mean, the show's gone really
down. Hank Azaria sticking around?
No.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because of the poo thing?
Yeah. Fair enough. Problem with the poo.
Yeah. Oh, well, haven't we all been there?
Recycled poo as well, because we're eco-friendly here on DVD.
Speaking of poo, check out Toy Power Podcast.
Yep. Toy Poo.
He's sitting podcast. Right here. Oh, man. What would you do?
He just looked at me like, fuck
this. I got nothing.
I came here on my day off for this shit.
That's it.
Oh, man. Honestly, though, check out.
I brought Easter eggs for the occasion. Yeah. Anyway. Go on.
Why? Because I'm fat?
No, no, no. Because fine. Cheap Easter eggs. Clearance Easter eggs.
Nice. If I had to bargain bin this movie, there is a movie I want to recommend to the whole world, but at the same time, it's not that great. Ray Liotta, after he did Goodfellas, decided to do a Mad Max-esque movie.
Mad Max is a Mexican food.
No, it was made in New Zealand, all right? A Mad Max-esque sci-fi dystopian future movie. It is called Escape from Absalom.
Yes.
But in America, it's called No Escape, I believe.
Mm. Yep.
That movie is fucking bonkers, but in a very similar way to Judge Dredd. So that's what I would bargain bin.
That's the one with the gun and it's like...
Yes, doom. There's one,
charges up every time.
Fuck, that movie's good. Yeah. I think.
Good call. I haven't seen that for years. Probably neither, around this era. Yeah.
Neither have I, but I'd bargain bin those two. Did you have anything for a bargain bin?
Demolition Man, easily. Yeah. I mean, Stallone, but the whole climate of this film just feels the same.
He wanted, you know? Because he got such good reviews and stuff for Demolition Man.
Yeah.
He wanted it again.
Yep.
I had a triple packet with RoboCop and Spawn.
I can see that. Yeah.
I almost had, is it Future Cop? Future with Van Damme?
Time Cop.
Time Cop.
Same era, same vibe.
Yeah.
Or you could put it with, Beethoven 3 and Beethoven 4 because they've both got Judge Reinhold in them. And it could be the Judge back. The Judgment Night.
I don't think anyone brings up Judge Reinhold as often as you do.
I'm fine with that.
It's working on the hashtags.
We're getting so many downloads from Judge himself. I want to make that's my new porn star name, Fudge Reinhold.
Oh.
No?
That's like I want to make a soul band called Deep Dig and the Chocolate Fingers. So, that could be a porn.
Speaking of Toy Power Podcast. Well, what would you give this movie? Out of 90.
Well, I'm drowning in nostalgia here, so I'm going to rate it higher than probably way higher than Casey will. So I'm going to give it a solid 15 because I just, as I said, this was a beautiful introduction to the whole Dredd and 2000 AD franchise for me. Whilst I still to this day have never collected 2000 AD comics, I do have a lot of crossovers with Dredd in them, so Batman, Aliens, Predator, and they're all solid stories, and that's where I found out about, you know, the deeper diving of the Mega City one and all that sort of stuff.
And you have that penguin Judge Dredd toy, which is fucking amazing.
Yeah, and signed by Carl Urban. Done by in Australia.
Signed by Keith Urban.
Carl Urban, did I say? No, sorry.
Was that made by Steve Schultz?
Yes,
he's been Australian. On DVG before.
Yeah, absolutely. I got a poster because I was one of the first ones to pre-order it, ran down, got it.
To tie it all back, Steve Schultz owned my Video Easy when I came to Adelaide.
Wow.
He was the manager. And he used to make custom displays in the thing. Yeah. I think he still does stuff for cinemas locally now.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Check out his stuff. A Mighty Wes he goes under now because he's a cosplayer. Yep.
Okay.
So, yeah.
No, I hold that little penguin cosplay character in high regard. I freaking love it. It's so unique. It's way better than a pop vinyl ever will be. Oh. And it's so and something Australian. You just don't have it. In all my collection and things like that, there's just not enough Australian toys. And I hold it, you know, on a pedestal because it's something that's – and done in Adelaide even, like, you know, done by – the artwork and things was done by Emin O'Donoghue, which is a Masters, you know, fan and character person that I know. So it all sort of tied together. A beautiful thing to come out of.
Because pop vinyls are to toys what Minions are to animation. Like, just because there's a lot and lots of people's weird aunties like them.
Yeah.
Ignoring the hundreds of pop vinyls I've seen in your house, Ben. But
No, I don't have – that's mainly Ree's collection, so yeah. But like we – as I said with pop vinyls, like we started when they were niche, right? Yep. And then when they started popping up in Kmart, Target, Big Dough, it's like, nah, we are – I'm not this, you know, crazy about them anymore because it's just not – it's a sea of them.
Did you see somebody was trying to sell a Kurt Cobain supposedly autographed pop vinyl on the internet?
Like, that had to be. When we had a fairly large collection, you know, 300-400, and when we sold them all, we got quite a lot of money back, and we travelled to Melbourne and did a few holiday trips with our thing, because when we got in so early, we were able to cash in when we sold them years later for big money, like buy them at $15, sell them.
I upset because some people may know, I secretly collect Ninja Turtle stuff. And I once got a message on Gumtree of all places from a guy who's like, hey, do you want to buy this exclusive Baxter Stockman pop vinyl that glows in the dark? Mm. And I was right. He sent the price as well, and I wrote back and I'm like, sorry, man, I don't collect Beanie Babies. And he did not take that very well at all.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, they are going to be like Beanie Babies.
But I think the difference between Beanie Baby and pop vinyls is you've got licensed characters. So.
And they're deliberately short runs as well.
I've only got one pop vinyl. It's Jyn Erso from Rogue One. Nice. That's it.
Good times. What would you give this movie out of 19?
Oh, 5.
Really?
I've never seen it. I have no nostalgia for it. Watching it as a 35-year-old woman in 2021.
As a woman?
It just did nothing for me. I'm sorry.
At no point does this movie look bad. It's the kind of science fiction that I love. It's got Stallone in it. Rob Schneider is the me of acting.
This is the white bread of action dystopias.
Not really, though. Yeah. There's worse. There's way worse you could do. But anyway, I'd give this around 14 just because if you ask me before this rewatch, I would have said like 5, but I fucking had a good time this time.
Cool.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
What about Fight, Fuck and Fart On?
Oh.
I would fuck Rob Schneider.
Yep.
I would fight Judge Rico.
Just Judge Reinhold.
Yeah. I'd like to hold his rind. I would fart on Max von Sydow because just I don't like The Exorcist and I'm the only person on earth that seems to not enjoy The Exorcist.
Really?
Or
that's
The Shining.
A great movie.
Not for me. The only good thing I ever liked about The Exorcist was the parody with Andy Richter and James Woods in the second scary movie.
Yeah, that's great. And do you remember Repossessed with Leslie Nielsen?
I'll never forget the joke to get sidetracked right at the end. I'll never forget the joke where the girl comes into class and he says, hey, pull down your skirt because she's like got a really high cut and she pulls down the top. Best joke ever when you meet.
Yeah. So I'd fight Mr. Sosa guy that can't park his futuristic red Lamborghini. You know, like
that Lamborghini was sick.
Yeah, I love that. That was awesome. So, I'd fuck Judge Hershey, Diane Lane. So I thought she was pretty hot.
Her pants tell me why, yes.
And fart on Snyder.
Yeah.
He just got annoying for me.
He did. I'd just fart on him anyway. It doesn't matter.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
Casey?
I reckon you got it there. Yeah. Yep.
She doesn't care enough to make her own.
No. I just
copy and paste your answer.
Yeah. There's not many people in this movie I could fight, so yeah, I had to choose the lesser.
If we were writing it down, she would have just put the two commas at either end of your answer underneath it.
My final note is, well, that's a film I'll never see again.
Fair enough. But are you a fan of Dredd, Carl Urban's one, or are you just not?
Do you want my honest answer?
Yeah, please.
I had no idea there was a second one.
Well, it's not. It's a standalone.
I did not know that. This is news to me that there's even a movie called Dredd.
I'd be keen to hear your thoughts. Like, and if you hate it, you hate it. I don't care. Like, it's just because I feel this is a very bro teenage film, right?
Yeah,
you know, like this is the one that you you grab your Monster energy drink and a packet of chips and
Why are you attacking me?
I'm not. As you wipe your mouth off of your latest sip of your drink.
Yeah. Punch a hole in the drywall and eat some Doritos.
Kyle.
Yeah.
Kyle. But see, I think I saw this at the exact right age of getting onto the franchise.
I think I'm just missing that element is the thing that's made it for me not like it. Oh, I think if I had that, I probably would like it.
Yep.
But I'm big on nostalgia, so
definitely.
Without nostalgia, I feel like I'm dead inside.
Yeah, I definitely feel it was missing a sex scene or a nude scene, like in Starship
boobies.
Troopers.
It needed boobies. Yeah,
when it needed Stallone's ass, like Tango and Cash,
and Demolition Man.
And I know where to insert it. You know, when they're getting changed in the locker rooms, the same sex locker scene. They should have, spliced in a bit of Starship Troopers where they're having a shower.
Would
and
you
stuff.
Have put tits, or would you put bum or like a willy?
Titty.
No, just tits and just guys walking past. Maybe you saw their ass and things. Nothing too sexual and things. I don't think you needed a sex scene, but just that, full frontal nudity would have been,
Because when they throw in a softie, it's like it's not threatening.
No,
exactly.
It's just.
Do you know what? I reckon chucking a gunt. Like, just make it more accessible.
What?
Don't you know what a gunt is? Well, you see, it's a learning experience.
Yeah, of course.
It's a bull nose.
A gunt is where the area or the booper, which is big upper pussy area, it's where the little, between the bottom of the belly and the top of the vagina.
Right.
That area.
Yep.
Is quite fleshy and big and pronounced.
Yep. Yes.
And sometimes, I'm not judging, but sometimes ladies will wear like jeggings, like those jean leggings.
Yep.
And the gunt is quite pronounced.
Yes.
It's between a gut and a cunt. So it's a gunt.
Okay. I'm that much wiser because of this.
Wait and watch my release, my Snyder cut of Judge Dredd where it's got gunts in it.
The McLennan cut.
Love it.
Hashtag the hunt for gunt is the tagline of my Stallone Dredd.
Yep. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I like that you kind of regretted being here and then right at the end you got all the way there.
Oh, no, I love being here. I feel blessed to be on this podcast. Any chance to, chat movies and things that I appreciate, but I understand, it's not something that everyone likes. It is a bit of a awful movie if you've seen it for the first time. I won't, disrespect that. And because it doesn't have any of the nudity and things, I was thinking, we can't class it with Booby Land or...
No, it doesn't really fit in.
Although, after Showgirls from a few weeks back, it's good to have a few movies that don't have boobs in it.
Agree.
Yeah.
I was last week we covered Hard Target.
Yeah.
And it was such a refreshing relief that it's like, don't have to, there's so many tits in Showgirls. We had to find creative ways to not talk about tits.
I got bored about tits.
Yeah, I heard. Yeah.
So it's a good reference. So we need to do a movie that's just all dicks and guns.
Yeah. Where are we going to get that?
Let's
apart
start
from your
a band.
Home video collection.
Let's start a band called Guns and Roses. Check out Ben on Toy Power Podcast. Ben, thank you so much for joining us. It is so good to have the only respectable member that's not Darren here.
Oh,
poor Trent. Look, this is the now longest possible time before you have to come back and do this show again.
That's right.
So
if I ever get invited back, that is, So
that if is bigger than the gunts I'm imagining, mate.
There you go.
It's a big if. No. Thank you so much for joining this movie, choosing this movie and making Casey watch it. That's one of the positives that came from it. You brought in your collection.
It's rare that someone gets to torture me with a movie. So you can that's like a new trophy.
I just need you. Remember the conversation we had the week after Pee-wee's Christmas movie?
Yeah.
The episode released. And how soul crushed I was at that choice. Just remember that right now. Just let it settle in.
It's rare.
Sorry about the hand movie. Yeah. The hand movement. I've been watching so much Schitt's Creek. I can't stop doing shit like this all the time. And it's scaring me. Anyway, that is the end for this week. I don't know how to end it because we just keep going. Yep. So check out Toy Power Podcast. Leave us a 5-star review. And, of course, make sure you go and like our new band page on
Guns N' Roses.
Guns N' Roses on SoundCloud. This is DVG.